So we ask, how can we improve our acts of the love of God to make them more profound, more sincere, more meaningful, and what is most important, more pleasing to God? There are many methods recommended by the saints, but one of these is basic to all the rest. Some great masters of the love of God have written whole volumes, or at least long treatises, on this subject, and what I will try to do is to somehow synthesize their wisdom. Thus, St. Bernard's huge volume on the love of God, St. Francis de Sales on the love of God, Thomas Aquinas, a whole volume on the love of God. This is the method of ascent. From grateful reflection on God's blessings to an ever greater appreciation of His goodness, until we reach the capacity of loving Him for Himself alone. We may ask, why should this method be effective? What I will then do very briefly is to describe how we can become so enamored of a person, this is of a human being, that we can love that person for him or herself. Is it possible? Yes. Which means not for myself. First, this method is effective, and we know this without having studied it. All I'm doing is reflecting on what is a matter of daily experience, but we're applying this analogously to growth in the affective love of God. I've got this in steps. I may skip a couple of steps. I just want to bring out certain things to show the relationship of one step to the next. First of all, to love anyone, I must first see that person with my mind as lovable. You might say, well, that's a cliche. Not quite. Only in the degree to which a person appears to me, now the person may be ever so lovable, but I don't know it. It's no good to me. I cannot love a person unless the person appears lovable to me. Makes sense. Second, I see that person as lovable, which means capable of being loved, if I have come somehow to know him as good. And in the degree to which I know that he is good, I come to appreciate him as lovable. No, I can, if I wish, withhold my love. I'm free. We're talking about capacity. I am then that more able to love the person the more I see that person as being good. So it's the basic word that we live with and take so for granted. When do we recognize a person as good? What's good about a good person that enables me to see him as lovable, and therefore that my affection can go out to him? I see him as good if I come to recognize how generous he is. I'm taking this in logical sequence. Now, it may be that a person is not as good as I think he is. That's not the point. If that person is going to appear good to me, I must see him as one who is generous, in a word, as one who gives. And unless I see him in that capacity, if I don't know him on this level of his generosity, he may objectively be good, but he is not really good to me. Now, the good to me doesn't mean that he's necessarily good in my regard, but I must see him as being one who is generous, who gives, and gives of himself. Next step. I come to realize how generous the person is, which is the condition for seeing him as good. Once I recognize how much he has given, how generously, so that the more aware I am of his generosity, the more aware I become of his goodness, and the more able I am to love him. There are then degrees of my awareness of that person's generosity. The more generous, then, I conclude, the more good he must be. We see that in general of human beings. Is that yet selfless love? No. What is it? Well, it may be if it is towards me that the person has been good, it is gratitude, right? I'm grateful. Or if it's towards someone else, then I recognize it as generosity, and it's appreciation. It's respect. Is it yet love? Not yet. Now here we're dealing with a mystery, the mystery of love even between human beings. At one point, the sense of gratitude towards someone who has been good to me, or the appreciation of someone's goodness to others, suddenly becomes a love of that person for him or herself. We cannot test it, and there is no necessary connection for, you might say, with the length of time that I'm in the company of, say, a good person. It can come almost in a flash. In other cases, it may take years. And in some cases, it doesn't happen at all. This is between human beings. No matter how good the person has been to me, or how philanthropic or generous the person may be known to be, whatever it is that, as it were, turns me on to make me want to love that person, to give myself to that person wholeheartedly, seeking nothing in return. All we know is that there must be this precondition. We must be predisposed to somehow recognize goodness, especially goodness to me, as the way in which we come then to love the person, not for me, but for them. Let's transfer this to the goodness of God towards us. Spiritual writers say that if we want to grow in the selfless love of God, we must constantly feed our affections with reflection on God's goodness, especially reflection on God's goodness to me. Now, as I said before, it is not that the more grateful I am to a person, the more I will necessarily love him selflessly. That doesn't follow. Because with God, having received the supernatural grace to love God for himself, see, we have the capacity for doing that. What I talked about before was what happens naturally. That's what I might call the acquired selfless love. Whereas the virtue of charity is the infused selfless love, in this case of God. Am I clear? Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, although we have infused in us the capacity to love God for himself, this capacity must be nourished. The fire must be stoked. The ability must be constantly encouraged. And consequently, unless I regularly, and spiritual writers recommend daily, and doing this consciously, reflecting on God's goodness, not only in general, but his goodness towards me, my selfless love for God may grow cold and eventually wither away. So that, how do we grow in this affective love for God? By regularly dwelling on God's goodness to me, and conversely, avoiding dwelling on my own lack of generosity towards him. That does not mean that I should not periodically reflect on my sins, but unless I am deeply impressed with God's goodness to me, and often in spite of my ingratitude, the risk is that I shall grow cold in my love for God, because on my part, though it's an infused virtue, I need to do something which in the natural order increases one's love for another person, and that means reflection on that person's lovableness. Take, for example, a couple married. Unless that husband regularly shows affection for his wife, does things for her, she will begin to wonder whether he really loves her, whether he still loves her. So we've got to, as it were, remind ourselves of God's love for us by reflecting on his goodness towards us. Secondly, the more personal our appreciation of God's goodness to us is, the more likely we are to grow in this affective love for God. What do I mean? Loving God on the level on which we are examining it is a deeply personal and intimate thing. Now we can reflect on God's goodness to us, and we should, say, like in retreat time, except for God, we would not exist. Except for God, we would not now, say, enjoy the health, or for us, the vocation we received. All of these are good and sound motives for stoking the love of God. On the other hand, in every person's life, God makes sure that that person becomes aware of God's special love for him in a way that cannot be said of other people. Thus, for example, I know that I have offended God. I know what I have deserved. The realization of his mercy to me is something that no one else but I can appreciate. Or again, something which I have lacked and God in his goodness gave to me. I appreciate what I lacked before. One reason, for example, that converts, generally speaking, make such zealous Catholics. That's why the church had to make a special law telling converts they've got to wait a few years before they're admitted to the religious life. They just want to give themselves in gratitude, and it's a selfless, by that time, it's often a very selfless love of God. Again, we have lost something, and it's recovered. Something that is very personal and dear to us may have been our health. Believe me, as one who was given 5 years to live in 1950, here's one man who appreciates the health that God gave him. The loss of something which may have been in the family, the conversion of a relative or a friend. In all these ways, and God makes sure there are enough evidences of his special love for us to make us appreciate his goodness in a way in which nobody else, but we can, because no one else has the experience. And consequently, I can close with this. We grow in the love of God affectively as we experience his undeserved love for us. And the more undeserving we sense ourselves to be, that's why to grow in the love of God, we've got to be very humble, dirt humble, street humble, gutter humble. The more humble we are, the more we shall appreciate whatever he does, because we know how little, better, how nothing we deserve it. The experience of undeserved love of God for us is the surest way of growing in our own love for Him. Thank you again for listening.